Welcome back on the 130th episode of The Leaders Who Care. We're on a mission to bring some of the most impactful leaders from every corner of the world who care to make a difference to our world. And today we have the privilege to welcome the founder and CEO of Crowdsolve. Crowdsolve is a community of innovators and mentors which cultivates the connections and collaboration to prepare climate startups for their next phase of growth. Leah is a leader who is scared to make a difference and to make the world a better place. I am privileged and honored to welcome Leah Bowles. Leah, thank you for joining us today, and great to have you.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really honored to be here, and I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Leah, it's very hot nowadays to talk about the sustainability. I think there's a lot of interest, not only from the seriousness of the challenge we face, but also we're seeing some major bold moves coming from European Union, US, pretty much from every part of the world. Some are more advanced than others, but at least speaking from European perspective, we have a countdown actually coming here in 2025 January. The reporting is official, so you have to really it's serious. It's now no longer just nice to have. You got to report properly, and companies need to take this very seriously. And if you're a company with over 50 million of revenue or 250 employees, that concerns you, regardless whether you're based in US or Asia. If you trade in Europe, you've got to report, and if you don't, the fines are significant. It's more than actually could be 8% of your revenue, not even profits. But talking about your own interest and inspiration, what really led you to found Crowdsolve? And tell us more about your why.
Sure. Yeah. Happy to. Yeah, I mean, I grew up in New Jersey, and after college, I moved to Boulder, Colorado, where I just feel like Colorado is really doing some great things around climate and sustainability. And I think that that really sparked my passion for just being more connected both to nature as well as sustainable solutions, and being connected to a community that really cares and is really focused on climate progress, I guess. And, you know, during my time in Colorado, I lived there for about 15 years. I joined a pretty early stage software company in Denver called PaySimple, where I led a team of people who really cared about taking care of customers. So I was the SVP of customer experience at PaySimple for many years. But at the end of 2020, like so many folks, just did a lot of soul searching and really wanted to focus on spending as much time as possible in the rest of my career on impact and, you know, making a difference more broadly and specifically in climate. Around that same time, there were wildfires that really affected air quality. They happen now almost every year, but specifically in 2021, the fires that kind of raged up and down the West Coast, it just really, you know, kind of made me realize that the time is now, and that as much as possible, if I could be spending my time working on climate solutions, helping folks that have sustainable solutions, then that's really where I want to spend my time. And so I reconnected with my co-founder, Tim Walters, and he shared with me, he actually had the idea for Crowdsolve. He shared with me what he was thinking about building, and together we kind of got after it. And so Crowdsolve was founded to help support hundreds of thousands of climate innovators from around the world bring their innovations to life. That's our big goal in the next 10 years, to help support hundreds of thousands of innovations that are in the earliest stages, and bringing those innovations to life through a connection to learning modules for early stage founders, a connection to a broader community of mentors and startup experts, as well as connection to some early capital too, because capital is important for these first of a kind solutions, and also just generally as you're bringing a new idea to the world, figuring out how to capitalize that solution. So that is my why. I also have two little girls, and you know, I'm super hopeful that we can look back on this pivotal time and say we did everything we could, and you know, we are bringing a more sustainable and equitable and just world to the future. So I also do it for them.
Amazing, so important. In fact, when we speak about our children, and we really, it's so important what we leave behind. And I think we are right now in the prime time to really make a difference. Knowing so many and seeing so much in terms of hundreds of thousands of innovators and entrepreneurs that are operating in the climate space. How do you feel? Are you optimistic about the future? And what's because we hear a lot of stories. Some of them are optimistic, others not so much.
It's a great question. I do feel optimistic, and I also feel like having the opportunity to work in climate around people who inspire me brings me a lot of optimism. I think it also helps, overcome some of the eco and climate anxiety that I'll speak for myself, that I often feel. And so being inspired by, innovations from folks that are living lived experiences and coming up with solutions that will really be impactful to their region. And then, as a ripple effect to the broader world, is definitely inspiring. I feel like there is, just a ton of opportunity for, policy to change and for global cooperation to kind of come together in this moment. But when I start to feel nervous and anxious, I kind of look towards the CrowdSolve community and the broader climate community, and I do get inspired and optimistic about, the opportunities ahead.
Somewhere I read that Bill Gates shared that there may be much bigger opportunities than Tesla and Amazon ahead of us, or companies that surpass them. And he said these companies will be in the sustainability or climate space. Looking at and knowing what you know and looking at all these innovations, what do you think is probably the most, I guess if we talk about AI, as we all know, is the future is going to impact us so much. What is the AI of climate change, or what is the most promising innovations that you see?
Oh, wow, that's a good question. Well, we at CrowdSolve support pretty early stage innovation, so we're really helping to support folks with the earliest ideas. But I think AI, to your point, is really kind of the frontier, and being able to use AI to create sustainable solutions is incredibly important. I'm trying to think of some AI solutions in our community. We have a few folks who are using AI to help with the energy transition and cleaning up the grid. So that's a use case that's really interesting. And then actually at CrowdSolve, we're using AI as well. So our software platform has about 50 learning modules, and it's free for everybody to access. And then we have a paid membership. But folks can go on to CrowdSolve with their idea and then get feedback from an AI mentor. So we prompt them with, let's start with the first module that we prompt folks, which is the problem, the solution, and the why for their innovation that they're thinking about bringing to the world. And then they use our mechanical mentor, our AI mentor, to get feedback. They can iterate on that idea, and then they actually get feedback from a live real mentor on the platform as well. So those are a few examples, but I think just emerging technology, we'll see so much more AI being incorporated into the solutions that folks are coming up with in first of kind innovation.
Wonderful. That is great to hear that you use this technology. And if we talk about technologies in the climate space, what else do you see as a promising? Is it hydrogen? Is it really? There's a lot of topics and a lot of potentials that are out there, but some of them are much more spoken about, others not so much. But from your experience, what is something that you see as a potential, or even you got excited because you see ideas early on, and I love the creativity of the younger generation and what they can bring to the world.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I mean, we use the way we classify impact on the CrowdSolve platform is borrowed from Project Drawdown. So we use that ontology to essentially classify the I think it's 11 or so top impact areas, and then there's about 90 sub areas below that. And we focus on innovations that are both in reducing greenhouse gas emissions as well as climate adaptation. So we're really inclusive of the holistic climate solutions. And you know, just I get excited about ag tech solutions. I also get excited about the blue tech and ocean tech. You know, we have some founders who are working on essentially cleaning up coastal waterways, removing plastics, and deploying, you know, an automated kind of robot solution that goes out and cleans those waterways. So that's a great example. There's also a lot of circular solutions that I get excited about. So we have a founder who is deferring plastic from landfills and turning that into sustainable umbrellas, which lasts much longer. I have one just over here. And so, you know, really thinking about kind of the circularity of solutions. I also get excited about, we have a few founders who are working on compostable packaging materials. So, you know, using mycelium to package a TV or a couch or something like that, and then have it turn into a compostable solution that can be planted in a garden. So, just really the innovation and creativity around, you know, seeing and noticing a problem and then finding a solution that is more conscientious for the earth and ultimately can help reduce greenhouse gas emissions and also help support climate adaptation.
That is wonderful. Just because I see a lot of people that are entrepreneurs and co-founders of organizations, which is, I think, very encouraging to see, and a lot of them are in the climate space. But there are a lot of also challenges associated with being an entrepreneur. And for you, what are the main lessons that you've learned of being a founder? And how do you take care of yourself and your team during that founder's journey?
Yeah, it's such a good question. And, you know, at CrowdSolve, we are founders helping founders. And so we really do focus on the holistic founder experience and recognize and really call out that the founder's journey is really challenging. And for me personally, as a founder, I wasn't necessarily. I wouldn't consider myself kind of the typical founder personality. Maybe I'm much more of an operator, implementation person. But you know, I was very excited to get to have the opportunity to co-found CrowdSolve because it spoke both to my passion for, you know, creating solutions to the climate crisis as well as helping other folks. And so I think being as a founder, you know, it's so important to connect what you're doing to your why, because so often there are challenges. There's, you know, just the founder's journey can be long and timing is everything, right? And so we happen to found CrowdSolve in a time where funding has been challenging. It's also challenging for the founders that we support. And so, you know, really being authentic and truthful about that experience, I think, is really important. And then how do I take care of myself? I mean, I think I really realized as a founder how important it is to make sure that I'm taking care of both my mental and physical health. And so, for a while, I was waking up at 5, getting on my computer, having my coffee, doing all my emails, and I was like, this is not sustainable, and this is actually not helping me through the rest of the day. And so this year, I really made a commitment to revamp my morning routine, still waking up quite early, but enjoying my cup of coffee with some gentle music and maybe some reading, maybe some journaling, maybe some drawing, really kind of starting the day slow and then making sure that throughout the day, I was able to, you know, kind of take pockets of time to myself, quiet time, either through meditation or walking, as well as maybe a more like physical activity. So I love boot camp and something that can really like get my blood flowing and shake things up a little bit. So just focusing on kind of the holistic person as a founder, I think, is really important, and making sure that, you know, we take care of ourselves so that we can go ahead and take care of other folks as well.
I think it's essential, and that morning routine is what I see a very important part of any founder's sustainable success. Put it that way. If we talk about sustainability, I think it's very important to take good care of you. Otherwise, you will not last. And as I love to say, have a very long expectations, not necessarily very high, because often with high expectations, people have a low resilience. And I think it's important to have to go through number of challenges. Talking about addressing the founders and the community, from your perspective, what are the most valuable advices or the top three tips that you'd like to share with founders that are on their journey of especially fundraising or starting their venture?
So I think one of the things we hear so often, and I fully agree with this, is just finding community. For founders, it can be really isolating. Sometimes you're a solo founder, or maybe you're still working on your venture, maybe kind of by yourself or in a bit of a vacuum. And so finding community with other founders, mentors, and I think the climate community in particular is so willing to jump in and help. So taking advantage of the communities that are out there, there's so many. CrowdSolve is specifically focused on the founders and mentors who want to help support founders. But there's so many other climate communities out there as well. So depending on where you are in your journey, you know, finding the community that resonates with you. I think, you know, being customer validation is always the thing that we really talk about. And it's so important to find a product market fit. When you can get that product market fit and really get to a place where people are excited to purchase your solution, that is so incredible to the health and success of your venture. And so taking the time to really do the customer discovery, ongoing customer discovery, is so important. So just, you know, getting out there, talking about your venture, figuring out your why and your story, and really being able to communicate the problem that you're working to solve, and not staying too attached to the solution, because very likely the solution will change quite a few times. The pivot is important. And so pivoting and being open to pivots is, you know, kind of necessary to the early stages of venture development. So, you know, customer validation, talking to folks. And then in terms of preparing for fundraising, I think, you know, it's just really getting your story down and connecting your why to what you're doing and really being able to get people excited about the venture that you're bringing to the world.
And would you advise them to go to VC route or angel investments, you know, just thinking of, I think clearly if you're getting people excited, you know, make a difference regardless who is on the receiving end. But from your experience talking to very early stage founders, where's the majority of funds come from? Is it VC or angel or their own? How does it begin?
So we do a few courses in CrowdSolve related to kind of fundraising 101 and thinking about all the fundraising options. I think a lot of times folks jump straight to VC thinking like, this is how I need to fund my venture. And that's not always the right fit. You know, VCs are really looking for businesses that can become billion plus businesses. And so that is not every venture. So it's really important, I think, for folks to understand, like, what is my goal for this business? And how large is this business? Like, what's the opportunity? And so, you know, we encourage just really thinking about bootstrapping. So many of our founders will end up bootstrapping their ventures, grants. There's so much non-dilutive funding out there, and there's just a real opportunity to capitalize on grant funding for early stage venture, whether you're a for-profit or a nonprofit. I think a lot of folks think like, oh, that's for nonprofits, but you know, we really encourage folks to apply for grants and look at grants. We partner with opengrants.io and a few other granting kind of tools to help folks uncover grants that are available. Angel investors, of course, you know, that's probably where your first checks are going to come from, is angels and friends and family. Crowdfunding, there is a, you know, there's lots of crowdfunding solutions these days. Raise Green is one of them that focuses on climate solutions exclusively. So that's a great way to kind of get, you know, your crowd and your community involved in raising funds for your venture. And then VC, right? So there's lots of opportunities. And I think just really helping founders explore what would make the most sense for their business and the trajectory of growth for their business, and using all of those capital sources in conjunction with one another. So for CrowdSolve, we've done a crowdfunding campaign. We also have raised from angels and friends and family. We have also done some grant writing as well. So I think there's a real opportunity to kind of use the capital sources in conjunction with one another. And then the final thing that really applies to all of those funding sources is creating connection and relationship with the decision makers. So I think we all understand that from an investment perspective, that, you know, being able to get connected to angel investors and VCs, that a lot of that is relationship building and development. But the same thing goes for grant making as well as crowdfunding. So when, you know, you engage your crowd, you're really going out to folks kind of one-on-one and talking about your venture and getting them excited about helping to support the growth of it.
I'm very passionate about the ESG topic, and there's a lot of ESG advisory now, consultancies, the larger consultancies are jumping into this as well. Do you see a lot of companies operating in that field, maybe to advise others about the climate change, or what is your take on this? Because companies need to prepare clearly, and every company almost needs to have that internally.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We do have a few founders that have gone through our boot camps that are working on, you know, solutions, both from a software perspective, so to help support at scale ESG reporting, as well as more from a consultant standpoint. So we are definitely starting to see that. And to your point, where we kind of began the conversation, being able to report on that from a corporate standpoint is going to not just only be required, but be very important kind of up and down across, you know, various industries and corporations. So we are starting to see some folks, actually quite a few folks kind of developing into that arena for sure.
And yeah, I'm just really curious, because there's so many companies to be prepared, right, of this. Do you see also a lot of companies invest into this, especially in US, because Europe is clearly the reporting countdown has started, but how is that look in the US? You know, some say it's more relaxed, others say it's more advanced. So what is your view on the US stance, not just for the smaller startups, but actually for the large organizations, ESG?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I don't know that I'm the expert person to share my thoughts on this. You know, I think in general, as we start to think about corporations being more focused on, you know, a triple bottom line, people, profits, and planet, that the more that can get infused, I think, into small, medium-sized businesses all the way up to enterprise corporations, the better off we're going to be. And so I hope that that is kind of where we start to move, and, you know, really focused on the three P's in order to be able to make the impact. I love what Tara.do says around, you know, every job can be a climate job, every, you know, so bringing your, like, I think there's just a great opportunity to bring a lens of sustainability and, you know, into what you do every day. And so hopefully as more and more folks get engaged and involved in ESG solutions, both personally and then more broadly, they can bring those, their passion into businesses and corporations that they work for in order to move the needle in that way. So I'm not sure that totally answered your question, but that's kind of my hope and perspective, I guess.
I love the triple P. I think it's fantastic. And it summarizes well. And it's, I think comprehends and captures very well the ESG piece into it. So you can be profitable, but how we get that profit is equally important. And I think it's more of a why and how that needs to be answered. And of course, hopefully have the right people or the who. We are, since we're deeply passionate about exceptionally gifted talent, and we help a lot of organizations with their talent needs and advisory. What is your view on when founders or get to a stage to grow and scale? What is talent looking for, and how could founders or let's say in a position to find more people need to do, not just to attract the right people, but to retain them? Have you seen any of those happening in the community?
Yeah, sure. From my experience, I feel like starting with values and aligning around values is really, really important for the success of a growing company. Yeah. It's where we started with CrowdSolve. We really, as we were building our team, we focused on developing our core values, both for internally the CrowdSolve team, as well as the CrowdSolve community and platform. And then that just creates a really kind of grounding and connected company, because you're focused on a shared set of values. So I'll share the ones from CrowdSolve. We are founder fanatics, and we focus on collaborative DNA as well as conscious urgency. And so, you know, really creating a set of values that allow you to hire, train, and grow your team in a way that feels very connected to the mission and vision of the company, I think is incredibly important. It really allows you to kind of set the tone and the stage for the folks that you then bring into your company, you know, in the future. And I really learned that during my time at PaySimple. So I was there for 12 years. We were very much a values-driven culture. And the values there were passion, authenticity, teamwork, happiness, and service. And we use those values to hire. We talked about them in our all hands meeting every single Monday. We gave out awards for folks that demonstrated those values on a regular basis. We had awards, annual awards at the end of the year of people that kind of were the year winners for values demonstration. And it just really created a wonderful culture and a super connected culture that we could then go back to when things were hard and say, hey, like, you know, did you approach that situation with a service heart, or how can you show up, you know, in a way to help support the team? So it really created this kind of collective shared, you know, conversation around how we showed up every day for both internally as well as for our customers. So I think aligning around that and then just building and developing your people from there.
That's very helpful. I really see that very often. People looking into why you do what you do. And a few other areas that are important is who is the team, you know, that I'm going to work with. Is it scalable? And really, what's the impact this is going to create? And if all the other practical points are there, because, you know, as a starting a business, not always easy to be the pay huge salary. Sometimes you've got to take a risk. And I think if the practicalities are there, we'll, and flexibility, I think people do appreciate that a lot. It creates a great great opportunity to attract exceptional talent and retain them. But of course, it's up to the founders to unlock that and make the best of it. And in just talking about some of those steps and, you know, the leaders especially, what do you think... what leaders can do that maybe are not very well acquainted with the climate change, or they know of it, but not to the same extent as what you know and the community might know. What are good, perhaps, sources or areas for them to learn more, apart from the ESG consultancy, you know? In other words, where they could get really validated resources that will help them grow.
Sure. Yeah. Well, what I did when I first kind of dove into the climate space was really curate my LinkedIn actually to follow thought leaders in the climate space. And what that ultimately ended up leading me to was following folks that have a ton of expertise in the space. So I mentioned Project Drawdown earlier, and they're definitely a resource that I think provides incredible learning and education just globally for solutions in climate and kind of the pillars that they think about in terms of tackling the climate crisis. And then I also think joining a community. So I mentioned it earlier, but there are a lot of learning communities right now that are really designed for professionals who are looking to go deeper in climate and really understand the landscape. So Terra.do, Climate Base, Climate Draft. There's a bunch of others. I've actually done a few LinkedIn posts kind of rounding them all up. But yeah, I think joining a community, My Climate Journey is another great community. Their podcast is wonderful. Just kind of listening and learning and figuring out to where you're most interested in diving into. It can be a pretty vast landscape. And so figuring out like maybe the first places to start. Green Biz is a great publication that offers, I think they do about 10 newsletters in various impact areas across the week. So that's a wonderful resource as well. And then as you start to follow, the thought leaders, you'll get more and more connected to other thought leaders as well. And so that's where I started, and that's where I always recommend folks to get started as well. And then again, joining those communities like a My Climate Journey or Women in Climate is another great one for women folks that are excited about learning more and connecting with a community of like-minded folks. So those are just a few. There's a lot out there though.
Excellent. That is very helpful, I think, and it's a great to look into. What about if they want to join your community and CrowdSolve? What would you advise people to do, how to approach it, and why should they join?
Sure. Yeah. So CrowdSolve is really all about helping early stage founders. And we welcome founders that even just have an idea, all the way up to launching their venture. We have a lot of deep connections with accelerator partners from around the world, where, they're getting applicants. They can't support and serve all of those applicants. And so oftentimes those folks come back to CrowdSolve, continue to make progress on their venture, and then are ready for acceptance into an accelerator like Techstars or Elemental Accelerator in the future. So founders at any stage are welcome. And then we also welcome mentors and startup experts who are excited about getting involved and helping to support early stage ventures. So folks can just go to crowdsolve.eco and figure out kind of the persona that they are. If they're a founder, if they're a mentor, we have little application forms that are really just quick intake forms. And essentially, a founder can come to our website today and get into the platform and start making connections to the learning modules as well as the community immediately. And then we also offer a membership as well. So folks can join for a paid membership to get access to a deeper set of programs, just help accelerate the journey and, really get a lot of learnings from a collective community that is working on some pivotal innovation. And then we also partner with accelerators. So if there's accelerators out there that are not connected to CrowdSolve, we're always looking for additional partners to just help bring more climate innovation to the world.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing all this. Final question from me, Leah, is what are your hopes for the future generation for more caring world? What do you think if you had the power to make a difference or make a significant change for spreading, that care culture and making the world a better place to live, what would you like to see or change?
Sure. Oh, it's such a good question and such a big question. I think where I started my journey was more in the individual action. And so it's something that I try to teach my kids every day is like, what can we do today to be a little bit more kind, a little bit more caring? And to just notice what's going on around us and take care of both the people and the world around us. So I think, you know, starting with this generation, this next generation of just creating, you know, that awareness in the very early stages of their life is important. But then more globally, you know, kind of going back to the three P's, just I hope and wish for a global shift away from profit at all costs and really taking into account a more holistic and integrated solution. And I truly believe that that will be a more profitable solution for, you know, the collective world as a whole. And so, yeah, I mean, I think from a broader standpoint, that is my wish for the world, and really just also, you know, listening and connecting to people's lived experiences and making sure that we're not trading off one solution for other problems. And so really thinking about the holistic solutions that we're bringing, you know, to the future and making sure that we're taking into account all people. And yeah, I hope we get there.
Well, thank you so much, Leah. Blessings to your work, your community, and thank you for sharing these insights and really for being a leader who cares. I'm very optimistic about the future and despite all the challenges we face, but that's what makes us stronger and more united. And once again, thank you and wish you all the best.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a wonderful pleasure to be here. So thank you for all you do.